We're focusing this morning on the first of those two readings, so it may be a help to have that in front of you, Matthew chapter 5 on page 968. And also you will have found in the order of service a white insert with some of the other verses we're looking at, which looks like this. Let's pray for God's help as we come to his word this morning. Thank you, dear Lord, for this precious time to reflect together on the words of your Son, the Lord Jesus. We pray that you would meet each one of us at our point of need, and by your Holy Spirit, teach us and build us up in just the ways we need today. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. What would you say to someone who was being persecuted for their Christian faith? What would your words of encouragement for them be? I read this week about a man in India, AJ, who is 21 years old now, and 8 years ago he converted from Hinduism to Christianity. And his family were appalled, they threatened him to start with, and then they disowned him. And now they have thrown him and his young wife out of the home, and they find themselves excluded in their community. If you were writing to AJ, what would you say to him? I also read about a lady called Victoria, a senior occupational therapist in a London hospital, and Victoria became friends with a colleague who was a Muslim, and after some time she lent her colleague a book about Christianity. And then she found herself suspended from work for 9 months, charged with harassment. If you knew Victoria and you wanted to encourage her, what would you say to her? Or what would you say to yourself if you shared your Christian faith with some friends, perhaps inviting them to a church event, speaking to them or answering their questions, and then you found that some of them had started to talk about you behind your back and leave you out when they met up? What would you say to yourself? Well, these past few weeks, we've been looking at the start of the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus describes the life that is blessed by God. We've seen each week Jesus has been describing the characteristics, the marks of the members of his kingdom. And some of these marks have been surprising. He starts by saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are those who mourn." It's surprising that these are the characteristics of the blessed life. But as we conclude the series today, we see that the final beatitude is perhaps the most surprising of all. Verse 10, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. We might ask, what possible blessing can there be in being persecuted? Well, as we understand Jesus' words here, and he goes on to explain it in verses 11 and 12, I want to draw out two truths from what Jesus said, which can help us and which we can use to help others if we face persecution. The first truth, our first heading is this: Christians should expect persecution. It's the implication of Jesus' words in verse 10. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. One of the characteristics, one of the marks of the members of Jesus' kingdom is actually being persecuted. The first seven Beatitudes describe qualities that should mark every follower of Jesus. And now, shockingly, the eighth Beatitude describes how people may well respond to those qualities we've been looking at over these weeks. And actually, all through the Bible, Christians are warned to expect some persecution. I've got some verses on the insert there. Jesus, speaking to his disciples in John 15, says, "Remember the words I spoke to you. No servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also." Then Paul, writing in 2 Timothy, says, "In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted." That's why when Peter is writing to Christians who are facing some abuse and hostility for their faith, Peter says to them, "Dear friends, Do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you. Christians should expect persecution. Now, I hope we experience much kindness in this world. But also, if we live a godly life, well, some people will feel threatened by it because their sin is exposed in contrast. For example, if we live simply but happily, well, it exposes the folly of materialism. If we live honestly, well, it exposes the grubbiness of dishonesty and half-truths. If we live generously, it exposes the meanness of selfishness. It's not only how we live that can attract persecution, but what we believe as well. Christians, we believe that because only Jesus died for our sins, because only Jesus rose again, well, Jesus is the only way to be reconciled with God. And of course, some others will feel that their way of life without Jesus is profoundly threatened by what we believe, as well as how we live. Now, there are many different kinds of persecution that Christians face. Here in Matthew 5, verse 11, Jesus says, "Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me." He's thinking of verbal persecution, insult, rumor, slander. In Luke chapter 6 on the outline, it's a little bit different. He says, "Blessed are you when men hate you, when they exclude you, being left out, insult you, and reject your name as evil." But Jesus also envisages greater persecution even than these. And in those verses from Matthew 10, he speaks of being handed over to local councils, legal authorities, being flogged in the synagogues, and even being betrayed to death. Well, we see all of these types of persecution in the world today. We know in countries like North Korea, in Eritrea, Christians are imprisoned, even killed for their faith. That example from India and other countries like that, where people may be beaten by their own families if they turn to Jesus. And actually here in the UK, like that occupational therapist called Victoria, who I mentioned, we're starting to see some people losing their jobs simply for their biblical faith. And actually, many, many more Christians will know the pain of friendships growing cold or being broken off because of something we believe. And some of us may know the pain of put-downs from family members, insults, criticisms in the home, in the family, because of our Christian faith and life. Actually, the Bible says, don't be surprised. Christians should expect persecution. We see lots of adverts these days that are misleading, don't we? Did you see those adverts for Snickers chocolate bars with Rowan Atkinson? They imply that one bite of their marvellous chocolate bar can turn you from a clumsy oaf like Rowan Atkinson into a martial arts expert. Just one bite of the bar, apparently. Or you may have seen those, those unedifying adverts for Lynx deodorant sprays, where they persist in claiming that their spray can make any man irresistible. Now, I've tried both of those products, and I'm afraid the adverts are misleading. I'm still clumsy, and the sprays... Anyway, I won't go into that. But actually, as Jesus describes life in his kingdom, he is certainly not guilty of misleading advertising, is he? Right here in Matthew 5, the start of his teaching, the very start about what it's like to be in his kingdom, one of the things he says is that as his followers, we should expect persecution. I think this raises the question for many of us here in the UK, what if we're not facing any persecution? I feel very humble about this myself because I have faced very little opposition to my faith. I think, first of all, we should examine ourselves. Am I striving to live a distinctive life in righteousness, or am I just fitting in with the world around? We should ask, do people know that I believe in Jesus if I do? Do they realize that I think it's important that they have faith in Jesus as well, that that's what I long for them? If we're not facing persecution, it's worth examining ourselves in that way. But also we should give thanks. It is true that here in the UK we have lived in unusual times with little persecution of Christians. And we certainly don't need to go looking for persecution. We can actually thank God for the protection we've had. But we must be prepared to stand side by side with those who are persecuted, like that AJ, like that Victoria in this country, recognizing it is part of the normal Christian life, and we're ready to show love, support, and solidarity with those who face persecution. And we must, of course, be ready and prepared to face it ourselves. It's just worth adding, as we think about persecution being expected, that the persecution Jesus is talking of here is because of righteousness, verse 10, and because of me, verse 11. You see, it's one thing to be persecuted for our desire to live a godly life and our commitment to Christ. It's quite another thing to be persecuted for being a pain in the neck. And Peter makes that point in our second reading. It's there in 1 Peter 4, verse 15 on the outline. He says, if you suffer, he's talking about persecution, it should not be as a murderer or a thief or any other kind of criminal or even as a meddler. He goes on to say, but if you suffer for being a Christian, rejoice. And it's just worth saying, sometimes if we think we're getting the cold shoulder from people, we can be quick to assume it's because of our Christian faith. But we should just ask, hang on, it's not, is it, because I'm being interfering or meddling or overbearing or self-righteous or proud? No, Jesus is talking here about persecution because of righteousness, because of our commitment to living his way, and because of him, our faith in him. And actually he's saying that is something that as Christians we should expect. It's a normal part of the Christian life. But here in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 12, Jesus goes further. He goes further than just saying we should expect persecution. He also says, and this is our second heading, Christians should rejoice in persecution. Now, if I was making up my own advice, I would never dare say that we should rejoice in persecution. I wouldn't dare say it. But our job is to pass on what Jesus said. And there's no getting away from it. There it is in verse 12. He says, rejoice and be glad. How could we possibly rejoice in persecution? Well, not because of the persecution itself, but because of what it shows the believer we have in the present and in the future. So first, if we are persecuted for Christ, it reminds us and it shows us that now we are members of the kingdom of heaven. It's verse 10, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Notice its present tense, theirs is. The kingdom of heaven is something that we belong to now as well as in the future. And it is a privilege that far outweighs everything else. The kingdom of heaven, it's another way of talking about the kingdom of God. It consists of people who, through faith in Jesus, have come back under God's rule and blessing. And the kingdom of heaven has begun with the first coming of Jesus Christ. We enter the kingdom of heaven when we come to Jesus in faith. And it will come in its fullness when Christ returns. But even now, as members of the kingdom, we have huge benefits. Just think, as members of his kingdom, we have pardon for our sins, complete forgiveness. We have peace with God. We relate to God as a perfect heavenly Father. We have God's presence with us, the Holy Spirit empowering us from within. We have God's people to belong to, a family here on earth to be part of. We have a purpose in life, living for God and his kingdom. And the prospect of heaven ahead. What benefits we have as members of the kingdom of heaven. Now, Jesus has a wonderful way of explaining this in his parable in Matthew chapter 13. It's on the outline. Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Imagine the scene, a man working in a field, he's driving a plough. Suddenly it clangs to a halt. He realizes something's down there. Subtly he gets to his knees, he digs away. And there it is, a treasure more wonderful than everything he's ever seen. He covers it over, he goes home, and he begins to sell everything he has. He sells the car, he sells his new racing bike, he sells the TV, he sells his clothes, he sells his old collection of football stickers, which turn out to be more valuable than everything else. He even tries to sell his mother-in-law, but of course no one will buy her. And finally, when he's sold everything, he buys that field with joy in his heart, because that wonderful treasure is his. And Jesus is saying that's what it's like with the kingdom of heaven. He's saying, yes, it's costly. When we come to Jesus, we offer him our whole lives to live for him, and we expect persecution. Yes, it's costly, but yes, it's worth every penny. Like that treasure, the kingdom of heaven far outweighs everything else. So Christians can rejoice in persecution because of righteousness, because it shows us that right now, in the present, we are members of the kingdom of heaven. But also, we can rejoice in persecutions because they show us something about our future, that we have a great reward in heaven. That's what Jesus says in verse 12. Rejoice and be glad, verse 12, because great is your reward in heaven. Every Christian believer has a wonderful reward waiting for us. And actually, the Beatitudes so far have been so powerful in showing us what that reward will be. So verse 4, they will be comforted. God himself will wipe every tear from our eyes. Verse 5, they will inherit the earth. Verse 6, they will be filled with righteousness. Verse 7, they will be shown mercy. Verse 8, they will see God. This is the crowning joy of heaven, an intimate relationship with God where we see him. Verse 9, they will be called sons of God. Whatever hardship we might face as followers of Jesus, this future promise, this reward, more than makes up for it. It is possible that in verse 12, Jesus is hinting at greater rewards in heaven for those who have faithfully endured great persecution. I don't know what those rewards would be, perhaps a greater joy in being there at last. But remember, we only get to heaven by God's grace. Any extra rewards would be of his grace as well, since it's God who enables us to stay faithful through persecution. There will be no envy in heaven. Everyone will be perfectly satisfied. When following Jesus is costly now, we need to remember we never lose out in the end by following him, no matter what persecution there is, because we have a great reward in heaven. And that means we need to be future-focused in our faith. We see at this time of year how children can be so future-focused looking towards Christmas. So children speak about Christmas, they think about Christmas, they dream about Christmas, they're excited about it, they're planning what they want at Christmas. All the time at this time of year, they're looking forward to the future. They endure through the end of the school term with their eyes fixed on the great day to come, the 25th of December. Well, how much more as Christians? We're future focused on our reward in heaven, and it enables us to endure even through persecutions now. We can rejoice if we're persecuted for Christ because it shows we have a great reward in heaven. And the third reason Jesus gives here to rejoice in persecutions is that they show that we're walking in the path of God's faithful people of old. It's the end of verse 12. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Moses was grumbled against by the people again and again. Elijah himself threatened with death and pursued by Jezebel. Jeremiah, the great prophet, beaten and imprisoned by his own people. Daniel famously thrown to the lions. God's faithful prophets were persecuted. Whereas, of course, it was the false prophets who were spoken well of by all. If we're persecuted for Christ, well, we can rejoice that it shows that we are walking in the right path, the path of God's faithful people of old. Now, as I've read this week about persecuted Christians, one of the things that's humbled me the most is discovering that in so many cases, God is enabling them not just to endure persecution, but actually to rejoice in persecutions. A great resource is an organization called Open Doors, and they support persecuted Christians around the world. They inform us. I've put their website address on the outline. And they send people to interview those who are being persecuted by their faith, sometimes secretly. So they interviewed that AJ in India. They said, "How do you keep going?" And apparently with a smile, he said, "Well, God is blessing me in countless ways." And they wrote to a pastor in Eritrea, and he wrote back and he said this: "As some Christians are released from prison, others are going in for the sake of the gospel. But we accept and understand that this is how the gospel of Jesus Christ is to be preached, and we thank God for that." And they even sent people secretly into North Korea to interview some Christians there. And you know, in that country, even owning a Bible, you can be thrown in prison for life. But one of the believers in North Korea said this. He said, "We always remember all the prayer support from all over the world. It encourages us to live another victorious day in Christ Jesus." Another victorious day. He's rejoicing in his faith, even in that country. Now, these are ordinary believers like you and me. And yet God is enabling them, even in persecution, to rejoice in what they have now and the reward that they have in the future. So friends, as we've looked at these Beatitudes over the week, we have seen these marks of the members of Jesus' kingdom. And we've seen the promises, the huge privileges that they enjoy. It may be, as we conclude the series, that there is someone here who is considering following Christ, thinking it through. You're considering coming to him as one who is poor in spirit and relying on his death for your forgiveness. You're considering coming to him as one who's hungering and thirsting for righteousness, desiring to live your life for him. But you're concerned about what people would think of you, what people would say of you if you commit to following Christ. Well, we've seen today that yes, there is a cost, but that what Jesus offers far outweighs that cost. With Jesus Christ, you will be a member of the kingdom of heaven, and you will be heading for that great reward in heaven. And he will enable you to rejoice, even through those persecutions that might come. And for those of us who follow Christ, I hope these Beatitudes have challenged us to wholeheartedness. I found them very challenging, personally. They challenge us to mourn for our sin, to be meek, to hunger and thirst for righteousness, to be merciful, to be pure in heart, to be peacemakers. And as we think about living wholeheartedly, again, we may think, if I'm a wholehearted follower of Jesus, what will people think of me? What will people say of me? Well, remember what Christ says here. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. What we have in Christ, believers, far outweighs the cost of wholeheartedness. You see, in Christ, we have now the kingdom of heaven, that pardon for our sins, that peace with God, that people to belong to, the presence of God with us, that purpose in life. And not only what we have now, we have that great reward ahead, being comforted by God himself, inheriting the earth, being filled, seeing God himself. So let's resolve today, as we reflect on these Beatitudes, to run in the way of wholeheartedness. Whatever the cost may be, whatever people may think, with Jesus Christ, it is well worth it. Let's pray. Lord God, naturally we love the approval of people around us. We love the thought of a comfortable and straightforward life. And yet your word warns us that as Christians we should expect persecution. Please help us to be those who are willing to walk in that way. And help us to be those who so recognize and appreciate what we have as members of your kingdom, and who are so focused on that great reward ahead, that even if persecutions come our way, we can rejoice to be followers of Christ and members of his kingdom.